Hey, listener, this is Ralph from Beer, Blood, and the Bayou, reminding you that if you love our podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Classmates.com, or wherever you consume our show. We also want to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, or would like to unload on our latest podcast, please call us at 405-806-0476 or write us at listener@beerbloodbayou.com. Thanks.
Beer, Blood, and the Bayou contains adult language, graphic descriptions of delicious hop treats, and real crimes perpetrated in and around the greater Houston metropolitan area. Viewer discretion is advised. Bitches.
Well, hello.
Hey.
Hey, quick question.
Shoot.
Are you guys phoning it in or what?
No, I am actually, we're Skyping it in.
Hmm.
Completely different.
Yeah. Oh, we started.
So one of the things I want to talk about real quick is your commitment to this craft.
Oh, who's mine or Jaim's?
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting in our recording room by myself. And
you're calling me because I'm so close.
Can we please call it a studio? Can we just call it a studio and act a little bit professional?
It's a masturbatorium, and everybody knows what it is.
We take most of those jackets out off the rack whenever we go in there and use it.
The winter cloak coat closet.
Yeah. I could you honestly, with a straight face, ever bring a guest in here and record with them here?
If we put some stuff on the walls, you know, cover some stuff up, maybe get some press releases printed up or something and framed.
Yeah, by covering stuff up, he means covering their eyes until they get in the room.
I don't know.
You get to walk through bedrooms, and that's kind of awkward.
It's a labyrinth of humanity on the way in.
And then maybe also, we put like a welder's mask on whoever is coming in. So they just can't really see. Maybe you strap a microphone inside like Darth Vader or something. Yeah, it's
I mean, honestly, with a little bit of work, I mean, if you took down like two or three walls and just completely redid it in a different location, it'd probably be pretty cool.
You're basically just not here. Yeah, it's okay. So it's messy now, right? I mean, there's shit everywhere. Because I know Hannah. She was talking about coming in. 10:31, she's like, "Oh yeah, I can go in there," and I'm like, "The fuck, you can come over? There's no way, dude. I'm just so embarrassed."
No, you can't add, dude. For sure, four people in there wouldn't fit.
Hey,
well, we wouldn't have you there, so you would. Oh, it'd just be, you know,
this us. Is for B Team cast.
Yeah,
no, so this is for our All Stars.
Yeah, so All-Star yeah, shares. So Josh James is going to be here every other week, so. You know, we're trying to fill in your slot with people. So, yeah.
Today's cast is I'm sorry.
I'll do my best to come on strong and keep the ratings up when I'm able.
Yeah, I'm feeling great about it. I'm really excited. Sorry. Brower, what were you saying?
I was saying today's cast is just kind of a filler cast till we get our main episode that we are very, very diligently working on to release on Wednesday morning instead of our regular release Tuesday. So we're just going to drop this little ditty for a little taste for Wednesday's release.
Hey, translation, Wednesday, translation, busy weekend.
That's right. Hey, listen, Wednesday is my birthday. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, we know that.
Oh, hey, and speaking of
hold birthdays, on, I got a calendar here on the wall. Yep, you're right. It is.
Speaking of birthdays, I had a birthday party on Friday night. Do you guys remember that? Oh, no, you guys weren't there. That's right.
No, I heard it. I actually heard about it at work with people that you know, and I wasn't unaware of it, to be honest.
That's impossible.
That's
I text you at 5:30 in the morning, and I was sick, and I could not make it, and I'm sorry.
Okay, I accept your apology.
Thank you.
Josh, what's your excuse?
I was probably 3 turkey legs in and a bottle of mead.
Friday night?
Oh, yeah.
God, and so like everything, like every relationship you've built over your entire life, everything takes a back, I mean, your job, everything takes a back seat during...
Do you think your career suffers because of RenFest?
I usually don't come to work for 2 months.
I mean, are you fully engaged at work for 40 hours a week?
I would say when Thursday comes around, not so much. I'm probably already thinking about putting on the chainmail.
Yeah, as most people are. Hey, you know what's really weird? I had lunch today with a guy who really smells like clean clothes. That's all he ever smells like. Have you ever noticed that?
When the detergent's too strong?
like a real strong detergent. It's off-putting. I was having difficulty eating my baked potato.
I don't know what the draw is to get scented detergent anyway. I always get unscented. Why would I want to smell like lilacs or something?
I don't know. It was very powerful. I couldn't believe how strong the smell was coming off of him. I was like, okay, I get it. You're clean.
Yeah, how do you compliment that?
You don't. Why would you compliment a guy on how he smells?
Man, you smell. Man, you like clotheslines.
I used
you
to
smell like vanilla.
One of my first jobs, I remember I used to work with this guy, and he would Febreze his clothes every day, and you could tell because it smelled like, you know, Febreze. But what it also smelled like, cat urine. So it's a mix of cat urine and Febreze. I mean, he was trying, right? I mean, he's trying really hard. I guess he just didn't want to go the extra mile to actually wash his clothes. Maybe he didn't have access to a washer, dryer. I don't know. But
what job was this?
It was
an office job.
I can tell you. Yeah, it was an office job. I can tell you the name.
Certainly, he had access. What I'm trying to figure out is the range of pay. So if you tell me he didn't have access to a washer and dryer, was he a slave? I mean, were you?
No. He definitely did.
Was this back in your car hop days?
This is like my first job. I got out of college.
Gotcha.
And the name of the company, which is now defunct.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I can say it's TriPoint Energy, and it's no longer around. So I can go ahead and just scream.
Wasn't that the one that your dad helped you get or something? You knew the owner?
No, absolutely not. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyhow.
Your dad hangs out a lot of people that use Febreze.
Yeah.
I thought he did get you a job though.
So this guy though, he would have rows and rows of Mountain Dew, like full 2-liter bottles, and he would fucking go through a bottle of Mountain Dew every single day. And then on Tuesdays, they always had like steak day at the Sizzler, and he would fucking call up there every Tuesday. I could hear him on his phone, and he would say, "Hey Tammy, this is blank. Can you make sure you throw a good steak on there for me? I'll be right there, sweetie." God, it was so weird.
So he didn't. He was not a healthy person in general.
I don't know. He probably isn't a lot. I mean, I would say that his. Listen. I'm a pillar of health over here. I don't know about you guys, but
no. I look to questions when it involves anything kinesiology. I call you for it.
Yeah, I know. Fucking model of fitness over here, man. God, I don't want to talk about the beer.
Yeah. So, how was your birthday weekend? I heard you went out paying the town after birthday party.
Well, we just went to Voodoo Queen, which is a fucking great place. One of my very...
Is it daiquiri only?
Nah, they got a full bar and everything. But one of my very close family relatives got thrown out of Voodoo Queen, which I thought was...
Do we know that person?
You do, in fact, know them. I'm not going to say if it's a he or a she. But they got thrown out of Voodoo Queen. And, you know who I ran into? Guess who I ran into?
Huh. Who?
Hannah from Texas 1031.
Oh,
really?
She was there with her fucking dude. It was like their one-year anniversary.
That's cool.
She is a very aggressive air hockey player.
Oh, wow.
Extremely aggressive. Very cool. Gave me a lot of middle fingers to the face.
Are they still recording that thing?
Yeah, they just put out an episode. It was really great, too.
Yeah, you know, Josh would know this and listen to our podcast.
Let's delete that and say, I love their latest episode.
There we go. That's more like it.
It's nothing against them. I've been, like, really busy. I've been behind on a lot of podcasts, including this one.
Yeah,
I just finished season one.
Of what, this podcast?
Beer Blood and Bayou.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
You could tell right when that tension started, like 2 months before it ended. It starts heating up.
So we're going to finish this section by ourselves. And anyhow.
Oh, yeah. You think that was where things started going downhill?
So, Brower, I hear that you said you had an update on something.
Oh, yeah. So the poor poor sheriff's deputy, Sandeep Dhaliwal, you know that his girlfriend, his girlfriend and – where was this? I'm sorry. He caught me off guard.
You're not ready.
No, I wasn't. But I will say that they basically they could have caught this guy that killed Dhaliwal long before it actually happened. They had all kinds of information on him. They at one point, the guy's ex-girlfriend or his ex-wife and his son were telling the parole officer, if you do not arrest this guy, he will kill someone and the blood will be on your hands.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a direct quote?
Yeah. Yeah, hang on. I'll tell you where that direct quote came from. But she said, yes, I'm concerned that something bad is going to happen because it does every single time. His son says, oh, wow. Yeah, it's crazy. This is a failure of systems all the way through. The state, the parole board agency, every single layer of bureaucracy that handles the criminal justice, clients, as they probably call them, have failed that poor man, and that is a terrible, terrible thing. So, without getting too much further into it, I'll just say that they screwed this one up pretty good.
Man,
wow,
yeah, that's really sad. I mean, I remember reading some information about that too, and it just seems like in our people, they just sometimes fall through the cracks, you know, and people they just. Yeah, I think it's a limitation of like resources.
It's hard to say they fell through the cracks when they were screaming, saying, "Please arrest this man! He's going to kill someone."
Yeah, I hear that all the time. I don't know.
I know that, but what else is there for them to do? Like they say, you know, we have to rely on the people that know these insane people. You know that's what's going to keep us safe is people's support systems and making sure that, hey, look, if you have a relative or someone you know, it's like kind of looking like a little nuts and, mailing bags of shit to people and stuff like that, then you better tell someone, you know, it's getting serious. So
ordering a lot of fertilizer.
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, you know, if you're going to know these people are going to do this, you know, that these don't happen in a vacuum. You know, these people aren't created out of thin air. So
are you, hey, quick question, Brower. Not about the story, but are you shaving your beard with your microphone? What are you doing?
That is
totally you because like every time you talk and you do the inflection, there you go. That's terrible.
I'm sorry. That's me lifting my microphone.
Okay. So just maybe like hold it out.
Gotcha.
So we don't have to listen to, you know, all of that.
That's right.
Well, sorry. Okay, back to the story. Yeah, it's very, very sad. Did you guys see the funeral?
I watched it, it was
fucking insane. I mean, just the pageantry of the whole entire thing. I mean, it was out of this world. I mean, just all sorts of
he deserved it.
Yeah, he did, man. I mean, super sad and very just unfortunate. You know, last night there was a guy down off of 288, fucking store clerk, man, fucking killed. Did you hear about
288?
That?
288? No, yeah, where, Portland?
No, it was like Reed Road. Yeah, like 288 and Reed Road. These fucking guys, they walk in, one dude's like wearing an alien mask, another guy has his face covered, and they fucking shoot this goddamn clerk, man.
So God, I thought about doing an experiment. Sometimes I watch the news in the morning between 5 and 5:30 as I do other things. I kind of just put it on the background, and I just listen to the stories and the headlines of the stories, and it's like murder, kidnapping, couple murdered, carjacking. So I wanted to like keep a list of everything that happens during just the course of 1 week and put it into a spreadsheet and just start tracking it. And then look over the course of time, say like, oh, look what we have here. This is every single day in the news, and just go by the news stories mentioned, not necessarily what crimes happen, but here, this is what you hear every fucking day in this hellhole.
We have that. I have that app, that neighborhood app, you know, Ralph, I know you have it, and you could see people's cameras when they pick up, like, you know, there's always a car getting broken into around here. Essentially every day there's one or two, and it's usually teenagers, and it's on high definition camera. And I'm thinking, nobody's watching this app but us people that are getting broken into. I mean, we're not solving this crime. I mean, the people whose kids these belong to are not watching this app. I mean, no one's gonna ever
catch the police aren't watching it. They don't care.
Yeah,
they
it's like nobody cares but the people that are getting broken into. I thought about that.
Only people that care are people who are selling cameras.
Exactly. I mean, so basically, it's scared neighbors. I mean, between the internet and all these, you know, Ring doorbell cameras, and now there's this whole fucking network of cameras. I mean, the stuff is just more visible. It's always been there, you know. It's just more visible. But what's even, I think, even more alarming is that, I mean, these guys who like killed the store clerk the other day, they knew they were being filmed, and they didn't give a fuck. I mean, think about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
have you heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect?
Go ahead. I've heard, but I'm gonna let you explain it.
The Dunning-Kruger effect is when someone so totally believes something that they are shocked to find out that the truth is something that they were completely wrong on. Like someone who so believes in something that they couldn't believe it. It came from two psychologists because a guy went in to rob a bank.
Wait, the two psychologists, Beasley and McElhaney, right?
Dunning and Kruger. So a guy goes in to rob a bank doesn't have a mask on or anything, you know, sticks up the clerk, gets money, walks out, and even takes the time to look up and smile at the camera. And then when they caught him, they say, you were so obvious. We caught you. We saw exactly who you were in the camera. You even looked at the camera. He's like, are you kidding? I rubbed lemon juice all over my face. And because he thought that, and he was so shocked that because he rubbed lemon juice all over his face, that he was able to be seen by the cameras. He just so totally believed that it
Why
was.
Why would that matter?
That doesn't matter. That's what he believed. But the only thing that matters is that's what he believed. So, anyway, that's what.
Wow. So I mean, where are you going with this? Right? It's like for example, these guys yesterday or last night who completely obscured their faces. You think they just had the belief that there's no way in hell that they could ever be identified? Is what you're saying?
That's right.
They truly believe that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the other thing too is that I also somebody actually was on Reddit and they were talking about some guy just blatantly shooting a cop in front of not only like four dash cams, but also like body cams. And one of the comments below, well, one person said, it's just unbelievable how somebody could do that, right? You know, shoot a cop. And then the person right below it was, imagine how desperate you have to be in order to do that. You know, I mean, if you look at it from another lens, or like you look like a robbery, right? I mean, people aren't, you know, going out there and risking their entire lives because, you know, they think it's fun or cool. I mean, they're doing it because they need to fucking survive, you know, to a certain degree.
Okay.
To a certain degree.
I mean, are we talking about the man who's robbing a loaf of bread to feed his children? Or are we talking about someone knocking over an old lady and stealing her purse to buy more pills?
I mean, but even the drug addict, there's desperation there, you know? The guy's complete, you know, guy or girl or whoever it is, I mean, they're hopelessly addicted, right?
And by the way, a lot of break-ins are inside jobs. Typically, they know people. You know, there was a break-in of a guy who owned a bunch of cash stores. Like, oh, no shit. You know, like, yeah, it was one of your employees, dude. You know,
right.
People who are breaking, you know, people who break into homes typically know what's going on or what's in there or what's available and what they can get. I would think, I mean, I think random break-ins are, I mean, car break-ins are different because you can look inside cars, but.
Well, I know, like, the ones around here, it's just kids going around checking to see if your door was unlocked. I mean, if your door's unlocked, they just, that's what all these Ring cameras are picking up. They check if it's unlocked. If it's unlocked, you see the light come on in the car, and they grab something and just walk off with a backpack on their back.
Yeah, no yeah. mask either. They do not give a fuck.
Oh, no, no, yeah. They don't have a car.
Because they know, yeah.
A bicycle or they're walking, yeah.
And they know because they're, I mean, they know the cops are just, you know, we talked about it so many times on this show, right? You call a cop and say that some people stole some shit out of your car, and they're just going to laugh, right? You know, I mean, they're not going to do anything.
I don't know the legalities of it, but I started thinking that maybe these intersections near, like for our neighborhood as an example, what stops you from just putting up like the HOA chipping in and getting a digital sign, and just every week there's just a different kid's face on there that's on camera.
Yeah.
So that their parents and their friends at school say, oh my God, that's Tom that did that. Wow. I mean, because nobody's looking at that Ring neighborhood app that's doing crime.
It's a shaming thing that I don't think would make anyone look good. No, and I'm not talking about the criminals. I mean the neighborhood. You know, it's like, okay, I get that.
Well, it definitely wouldn't help the value of the real estate, for sure.
Yeah, and then what you're doing is you're showcasing all the crime that's there. You know, it's like, right. You know, crime is something that, yeah, okay, it's something you deal with. It's something you don't really talk about.
You know? I guess maybe just...
Because it depresses the values.
I don't know the right way to do it, but those kids are realistically not going to get caught.
No. Well, speaking of somebody who's never going to get caught...
We thought,
did you guys hear the news about Sam Little this weekend?
I did. And we discussed him over a year ago.
Episode something something. God, I wish we just had like automatic database or like we'd be like, hey, Jamie, look that up. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If we ever get some super fans who would catalog and archive all of our shit.
Yeah.
There's got to be a Wikipedia page started.
I want you to know that we've sold 2 Beer, Blood, in the Body t-shirts.
Are you kidding?
Yep. I did not know that we had one that your dad would like to wear.
Yeah, and guess who doesn't have – neither one of you guys have one.
Oh.
Did not even know they were for sale.
Yeah. we got the Water Murder shirt, you know? Water Murder?
Yeah? I knew that one, but I thought that
God, Brower. Hold on. Brower's about to die. Most podcasts would edit that out. Guess who's not going to edit that out? Me.
Sorry,
not because
we're going straight through.
Yeah, not because I don't believe in editing. Mostly because I'm not fucking editing this podcast tonight. Okay. All right. So back to Sam Little. FBI says. By the way, this is an article from the Chronicle. Danny Hermosillo and Julian Gill.
Should there be any very, very, very small recap as to who this is?
Yeah, I'm gonna go through all of it. Yeah, it's gonna talk
the whole thing. So just listener.
Yeah, just 2 hours. Just sit back. It's gonna be about 3.5 hours of me reading this fucking long form journalism from the Houston Chronicle.
Yeah, let's go it's cliff not notes on it.
All right, so Sam Little, FBI says Sam Little is the worst of the worst, having confessed of 93 murders and even sketching many of his victims from memory to help police identify them. And by the way, anybody out there, go Google Sam Little sketches. It is fucking, like, you'll never sleep ever again. I hate to use the word nightmare fuel because that's just such a fucking cliche, but it really is. So this guy went back and just from memory was sketching the people that he killed. So on Sunday, the FBI issued a
evil
press
genius.
Mm-hmm. On Sunday, the FBI issued a press release confirming that Samuel Little, 79 years old, is the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history. I mean, that's fucking unbelievable. All right. So beside his confessions, the FBI said Violent Criminal Apprehension Program can also confirm that Little has been matched to 50 cases, with many more pending final confirmation. So, I mean, if we're talking about he's already been matched to 50 cases, I mean, and he thinks he does 90. He doesn't know fucking how many he's actually done, right? So it could be, like, way more. Okay, so those homicides date back as far as the 1970s, according to police. So Little is currently serving 3 consecutive life sentences without parole in connection with 3 murders from 1987 to 1989.
You know, I'd be willing to bet that that number is probably pretty accurate because that's oddly specific. You 90? Know, 93.
Oh, 93, yeah.
93, because they got him on three life sentences right now. He's on, and he was convicted of three different murders, and he's saying there's 90 more.
Yeah. He's had plenty of time to go over his head.
Why not make it even 95? Why not?
He's had plenty of time to go through and count them.
That's yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
unless there's one or two that he's like really ashamed of, believe it or not, something like that.
This man is a sick individual, and of course he knows all these. He has all these victims probably memorized in a bank of his head.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes. So, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I thought you were done with the story. That was. Anyway,
no, I'm not done.
I was reading about it too today.
He was first arrested at a Kentucky homeless shelter in 2012. He was extradited to California on a narcotics charge, according to the FBI. The Los Angeles Police Department obtained DNA that connected Little to three unsolved murders. In May in 2018, the Texas Rangers, hey, Josh, and the FBI
were. You know, we talked about all this, right? We did
I know.
This
I'm
case.
Just. You told me to recap it.
I know.
I'm fucking recapping it.
This was a heavy Texas Ranger.
I know
case.
You love Texas Rangers. In May 2018, the Texas Rangers and the FBI were able to obtain detailed information on additional murders across the country that Little voluntarily provided. The Texas Rangers said he confessed to a total of 90 murders. Now, dozens of federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies are working to match his confessions with evidence from women who turned up dead from California to Florida between 1970 and 2005. Little created 16 drawings of his victims based on his memory and recently added 10 more drawings to the collection, the FBI said. One of the victims only identified as a black female between 25 and 28 years old was killed in Houston between 1976 and 1979 or in 1993. He can't be sure. Jesus Christ. The recent
I think this
drawing,
is the guy that said he didn't like Houston at all. I think this was
yeah,
that
well,
one.
I don't think he likes a lot of places, Josh. The recent drawing.
But he came out and said that, but anyway.
He did?
No, he really did. There was I think this is the guy that we did, and he actually came out and was quoted as saying that he wasn't in Houston as long as he didn't like it.
Oh, God. Anyway, okay. Anyway. Yeah, I do remember that. That's right. Man, that's fucked up. The recent drawings include victims from Charleston, South Carolina, Cincinnati, New Orleans, Savannah, Georgia, Kendall, Florida, and North Little Rock, Arkansas. The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation inmate locator shows Little is currently in the custody at the California State Prison in Los Angeles County. That's heavy.
Yeah, I don't think they should. Wow. Brown and I were talking about this before we started recording. I don't. No, they should waste a lot of tax dollars on just going and trying to get the rest of these on his record. I mean, let's just
that's really easy thing for you to say, but I mean, like, a lot of these women are somebody's daughter, somebody's mother, and people, you know, a lot of people don't even know what happened, you know, to their loved ones, and that's the thing, man. Like, I was listening to The Man in the Window, that podcast from. Golden State Killer, and because the statute of limitations have run out on rape, there's a lot of women whose attacks
can't go charged.
He's never gonna be prosecuted because the statute of limitations ran out. Now the problem here is that these women, these rapes have stayed with them their entire lives. Like, they can't even sleep at night. They still have PTSD psychologically. They're in hell because of this one incident.
Well, I'm not saying he shouldn't own up to him, but I don't know that we should do any.
Yeah, and I know that's horrific, and I don't want that for anybody. But, I mean, you know, is justice 40 years later going to solve those problems? I hope so. But, I mean, I hope they're seeking other forms of help and peace.
Well, let's put the ball in your guys' court, okay? Let's say, something horrific happened to one of your children or your spouse.
Wow, you're just really dropping that ball, huh?
Like, let's fucking do it, right? I mean, so, like, how, I mean, would you, So let's say that, you know, let's say it's a serial killer, right? And let's say that killer was prosecuted for 5 or 6 other murders, but was never prosecuted for your loved one's death. Would you be pissed?
Is this person, well, so is I guess this person not... currently incarcerated?
Obviously, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, so I think you're missing what I'm saying.
I can't doubly incarcerate them.
That's what I'm saying.
I can't kill them twice.
I don't want to see this go to some court fiasco for each one, like 93.
You don't want, I don't know. I would want
to admit it.
You want to drag out some crime scene photos of your children. You want to go, you want to go parade your family through that. You want to do that? You want to relive those?
They should get their closure. I'm not saying they shouldn't get their closure and he shouldn't own up to it, but I'm just saying court proceedings and attorneys. And I don't think that that needs to happen in this particular case. I don't know. And I damn sure don't think he needs to get a plea deal to be doing these fucking drawings. If he's getting any plea deal, that's going to piss me off. But
he may be getting special treatment around, where he's,
He won't get out, but he may get some kind of treatment. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, so that's Sam Little. What else, guys?
That's it. I got a case tomorrow from Huntsville, Texas. By the way.
Ooh. Interesting, Huntsville, Texas. It's not exactly Houston.
Well, I read about it when I was in Houston.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, that's a good
one. We also said that as long as it's associated with Houston, which we're from Houston and we went to school there. So.
Oh, yeah. I think that definitely. Yeah, it's a good.
It's an extension of Houston, Huntsville.
Okay.
Yeah, and we got that big announcement for Christmas. Don't forget.
Oh, you're talking about the bus?
No, the Christmas live show.
Oh, the Christmas live show.
That's right, Christmas party live show.
Here we go.
I'm excited. That's right. Yeah, this is like a year in the making, so.
Here we go.
Well, we had to book. I mean, you can't book that place, the George R. Brown Convention Center, without a year in advance.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if old Olstein will throw us the keys. Yeah. Back in the summit.
Oh, he would love. Yeah, he would love that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty sure. Pretty sure he would love us in his church.
Yeah, did you hear though? Like at from Imelda, the very first thing he did is as soon as he knew there was a storm brewing in the Gulf.
He was taking the doors off the hinges and rolling heads out.
Yeah, he sent a tweet out. He was like, "The doors are open,"
but I'm not gonna tell you which one. They're not all open.
You gotta
find out which doors unlocked.
Yeah, it was calculated risk. He knew that it wasn't gonna affect his area, and no one was gonna be able to.
Well, he heard he heard Mattress Mac had already got most of the people at capacity over there, so he's like, well, not that many more people need to come stay over here, so I'll go in and tweet this out.
Yeah, so Mattress Mac hedged his bet selling all that furniture. Yeah, so, which is a pretty smart move, but I was reading an ESPN story and it said Houston salesman.
I saw that too
and I was like, he is so much more than a salesman. You know, this city doesn't have much, but it's got Mattress Mac.
Yeah,
and they're just going to say Houston salesman. I took great offense to that. But you know what though? That's just another reminder about how in the outlook on Houston, even Houston teams, Houston sports teams, always shit on. Like you watch the games, watch the ALDS. It's like, what can the Rays do? You know, how can they overcome this? We should hope they win. They're the little team that could. You know, it's not about the Astros, you know. Right. It's always been like that. But this is in particular the series right now. But anyway. And then
I read a really good article in the New York Times about how, you know, they don't have really good outlook for the Yankees and how the Astros are even better than they were the last time they played. So
yeah,
I thought that was actually a leg up.
Not a repeat of today's game, but
before they lost today, people were saying the Astros are flawless. You know, you look in their lineup up and down, and they're absolutely flawless. But oddly, I also saw an article that gave the salaries of all the players on the Tampa Bay Rays that beat us today. It's $13 million less. Total, their total salaries is $13 million less than what Greinke got paid this season.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You get what you pay for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right? Yep. So. Good stuff.
All right.
That's Beer, Blood, the Bayou, and Sports.
Yeah, man. It's been late.
Sports section. A late one. Just, yeah. All right. Before we turn into fucking news radio 610. Oh, wait, 650. I don't even listen to sports, so, you know, this fucking goes. All right, you want to cue that music?
Yeah.
No.
We need to figure out when the next one's coming out.
Which next one?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. All
right. Oh, yeah, another one tomorrow.